Sometimes God allows misunderstanding in our lives so that we may understand Him better, so that we can be detached from people and be attached to Him. That is God's intention. We read in John 2, the last verse, last three verses. Now, when Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in His name, beholding His signs which He was doing. But Jesus on His part was not entrusting Himself to them, for He knew all men. And because He did not need anyone to bear witness concerning Him, for He Himself knew what was in man. Because Jesus knew what was in man, He did not entrust Himself to anybody. You see, like we heard today, Jesus was the most misunderstood person on earth. From birth till death, He was misunderstood. And He didn't try to explain it away and make people understand. People called Him illegitimate. People called Him son of Mary. Whenever they were pleased with Him, they said He is son of Joseph. When He spoke something that irritated them and offended them, they called Him son of Mary. We don't know who His father is. That was the way He was treated from childhood. Probably in school they used to say, "Hey, where's your father, man?" Jesus never bothered to reply and answer to them till His dying day. "You know, guys, I was not born out of wedlock. I was born of the Holy Spirit." He didn't ever defend Himself. He entrusted that to the Father. He said He lived before the Father's face. And Pharisees misunderstood Him. So many times He rebuked the Pharisees. And they got so offended. There is a verse in Matthew 15. I want you to read a very strong word that Jesus spoke there. Matthew 15, verse 12. After Jesus spoke to the Pharisees, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard your statement?" But you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be rooted up." Did you hear that? Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit. It's one of the strong words that Jesus used. He didn't go around telling the Pharisees, "You see, I didn't mean that way. It's like this and it is like that." He didn't go and explain to them. He just left them alone. Turn with me to John 6. This is one of the great chapters where we read Jesus was a specialist in dwindling down the crowd. You read first of all in John 6 verse 5, it says a great multitude was coming to Him. Verse 5, a great multitude. And go to verse 10, it says it got dwindled down to about 5,000. Verse 10. Then you go to verse 60. Many, therefore, of His disciples, when they heard this, they said it is a difficult statement. Again it got dwindled down to a few thousands out of five. Then again verse 66. As a result of this, many of His disciples now. It's not from the crowd. Many of the disciples. Jesus had disciples 12 plus, about 70. So out of that, probably out of the 70, many of them, it says, withdrew. And then again in verse 70 it says, only 12 were left. And Jesus asked them also, "Would you also like to go away?" You see, Jesus never bothered to turn around and say, "Hey, come on, I didn't really mean When I said of eating my flesh and drinking my blood, I didn't mean cannibalism. He didn't try to explain to them. You want to go? Go away. I am not alone. My Father is with me. Do we have that confidence? Somebody comes and tells you about X, comes and tells you about Y, something about what he heard or what his impression about Y is, and you, like a fool, you listen to that and you get corrupted yourself. What does that show? That shows your spiritual babyhood. That shows your spiritual infancy. Somebody talks about somebody and you get corrupted because of that, and you become cold towards that person. How is it going to matter whether that person does anything? You concentrate upon your own salvation, my dear brother and sister. Jesus didn't ask you to go and look into somebody's affairs and give account to him. He knows everybody's heart. He knows when you fast. He knows when you pray. He knows when you give alms. You don't have to publicize that. Jesus said that in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6. When you pray, pray in secret. When you give, give in secret. When you fast, fast in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you publicly. And you who listen to somebody's gossip and you get corrupted yourself, that man may be enjoying his relationship with the Lord and you get corrupted yourself and you become cold towards that person, which is none of your business, and your spiritual life is stunted and you want to remain like that. When will you wake up? When will you grow, my dear brother and sister? Paul, the apostle, also had many adversaries, and sometimes he had to rebuke certain churches, certain church elders, certain congregation very severely. He said in Galatians 3:1, he said, "You foolish Galatians, who bewitched you? I had already spoken to you the gospel." You go to Galatians 1. He had already preached to them the gospel, and now these guys have turned away from the true gospel to something else. He says in verse 6, "I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel." Somebody came and told something else, and these guys suddenly shifted their loyalty and their basis of faith onto some other gospel, different gospel, and different Jesus. And then he says in verse 8, "But even though we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to that which you have received, let him be accursed." The second time he says. And look at this verse, verse 10 of chapter 1. "For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bond servant of Christ." My aim is to try and please people, like many preachers do, so that they can increase their congregation and increase their tithe and their earning and their income, Paul was not interested in that. True church is not interested in that. They will tell you the truth, you get offended and go. Otherwise, repent and come. They will not come after you to explain to you, like Jesus and the apostles did. "If I were still pleasing men, I would not be a born slave of Jesus Christ." This is the mark of a true servant of God. He tells you something and it may hurt you. It's something like a surgeon that uses scalpel and cuts you open and takes out that growth, whatever is there, and stitches you up and heals you. He will not leave you cut open like that and send you away so that you will get more infection. If you run away in between, you will get more infection. If you stand till the work is completed, you will get full salvation. Jesus said in the verse that we read in Matthew, in our memory verse today, Matthew 12:50 and Luke 8:21. Maybe we can just turn there. Luke 8:21. You know, as Jesus was preaching in some place, his mother, brothers, and came and they wanted to meet him in verse 19. His mother and brothers came to him and they were unable to get to him because of the crowd. And it was reported to him, "Your mother and your brother are standing outside wishing to see you." And listen to Jesus' answer. He answered and said to them, in another place it says, "Who is my mother and who is my brother and who is my sister?" "My mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it." My mother is not Mary. Of course she was. But he is telling here, you are more important to me. If you do what my father says, if you obey what my father says, you are like Mary. You are like my brother. You are like my sister. Look at this wonderful privilege, my dear brothers and sisters. Those of you who venerate Mary, the mother of Jesus, I want to say something to you. I hope you know, Mary was not as holy as you think. She lived under the old covenant and she didn't have victory over sin, just like even we so-called new covenant people, we fight with each other, husband and wife. You think they didn't have a fight at home? They were under the old covenant. And Mary was a sinner. I'll show you the verse which she herself confessed with her own mouth. Turn to Luke 1. Luke 1 verse 47. This is the Magnificat. And Mary said in verse 46, "My soul exalts the Lord and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." Who needs a Savior? A sinner or a saint? Mary needed a Savior. She says, "My soul, my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." Mary was not a Savior. Jesus didn't give the keys of the kingdom of God to Mary. He gave it to Peter. Means Peter was more important than Mary. Jesus didn't invite Mary for the breaking of bread, the first breaking of bread. He invited the 12, including Judas, who was one among them. And look at verse 38 and 48. Verse 38, it says, "Behold the bond slave of the Lord." Who is born slave? Mary. She confesses herself. And verse 48 again. "He has regarded the humble estate of his bond slave." She is not the queen of heaven, by the way. I hope you know that. Today you have heard it. Mary was no better than Mary Magdalene. Both were to be washed in the blood of Jesus, and both had the same standing before God Almighty. And one last word I want to close with. Matthew 11:11, it says, Jesus himself said that Mary was not a great soul. Turn to Matthew 11:11. "Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." I hope you knew that John the Baptist was born much later than Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary went to meet Elizabeth when Elizabeth was carrying John the Baptist. And Jesus said, here, up until John the Baptist, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. It includes Mary too. I hope you know that. She was not greater than John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the greatest among the prophets up until Jesus came, until the old covenant man. John the Baptist lived under the old covenant, even though his name is written in the new covenant, and even Hannah and Simeon, even though they lived in the New Testament, their mention is made, but they didn't live in the new covenant, because the new covenant was established only after Jesus died and rose again. And after the day of Pentecost, a new era was heralded. So the thing is that we don't go around trying to justify ourselves, like we heard already. You are those who justify yourself before men. That which is great in the sight of men is an abomination in the sight of God. If you stop justifying yourself, and if you try living before God's face alone, then your spiritual growth will have no limits, my brothers and sisters. Stop living before the face of men. Stop listening to X, Y, and Z. Concentrate upon your own soul and your own spiritual growth. May God bless you.
I believe, brothers and sisters, that God wants to really make us a people who will live before His face and not before the face of man. I think that is what God is seeking to speak to us, speak to me. We can learn from Jesus' example in Isaiah 53 verse 2. We can turn to that verse, Isaiah 53 verse 2. Isaiah 53 verse 2. We read here, for he grew up before him like a tender shoot. Those two words, before him, it tells us how Jesus lived his life. And we can also have that same desire that we can live before him. Jesus' entire life was lived before the Father. And he knew that the Father understood him, and there was a rest and a peace in his life because he was living before the Father. As we already heard, we know Jesus was very much misunderstood during his earthly life. The religious leaders called him, like we already heard, they called him a glutton, they called him a wine bibber. They misunderstood him because he ate with well-known sinners. But Jesus was content to live before the Father. And God was able to accomplish the greatest work in history through this one life, through this life that was so misunderstood. And that can encourage us that God can do something through our own lives too. If we have a right attitude when we are misunderstood, that if we seek to live before God with a clear conscience and leave things to God to sort out and handle when people misunderstand us. You know, brothers and sisters, God wants to really give us faith, a genuine faith in our hearts. And we read in, we know this well-known verse in John chapter 5, verse 44. We can turn to that. John chapter 5, verse 44. We read here, how can you believe? That is, how can we have real faith when we receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Now, God wants to really give us a living faith in our heart, and that can happen only when we stop receiving the honor from men and we want the honor that comes from God. That way, God can put a genuine and a living faith in our hearts. And in closing, I just want to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. Here we can see from Jesus' example how he went through misunderstanding. It says here about Jesus, 1 Peter 2, 23, and while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. You know, when Jesus was standing before Pilate in that situation and many situations in his life, when he was misunderstood, Jesus did this one thing. He entrusted his case in the hands of the one who judges righteously. He knew he was misunderstood. He knew what people were saying were not correct many of the times. But always, Jesus left his case in the hands of the one who judges righteously. And we can also do that, brothers and sisters, in the situations where we are misunderstood. In the situations, sometimes our boss may misunderstand us, even when we intended well. Sometimes somebody in the family may misunderstand us. Sometimes somebody in the church may misunderstand us. Man sees only partially, but God sees everything. And we can be at rest, and we too can leave our case in the hands of the one who judges righteously. And God will bring about justice where we've been wronged, where there has been injustice. God in his time will bring justice, and he will exalt us, and we can wait for his time and continue to be at rest. Amen.